a joy being with you again. If you have your Bible or New Testament, please turn with me to the epistle to the Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians. Now, this second epistle to the Corinthians reveals a great deal about the Apostle Paul, many details about his personal history, and deep personal feelings that we don't have recorded in any of his other writings. So it's unique in that way, a personal touch, or better yet, many personal touches about that great Apostle Paul. Now, over this second epistle, we could put two words which would more or less, in a very simple way, tell us what this book is all about. And the words are consolation and vindication. Now, the Apostle Paul had been accused of many things by not only the enemy, the unbelieving Jewish leaders, but also by the legalistic Jews who were believers. So he got it, you might say, from both directions. Often he was accused of having the wrong motives and for self-glory or for gain. They despised his looks and his voice. So they attacked him as to his personal appearance. And they accused him of not being an apostle at all. So the Apostle Paul here in his second letter to the Corinthians, he vindicates his call. He defends himself. And the first part, and that's what we want to consider this morning especially, the first part of this epistle concerns consolation. Consolation and comfort. So in view of that, let's turn to chapter 1 and we'll read the first 10 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So here we have a portion of comfort. In fact, this is the great classic on the comfort of God available to His people who are going through trials and tribulations and suffering and so on. So the theme of this portion that we just read is comfort. But not only comfort available to ourselves, but also the ministry of comfort that should come from us who have been comforted by God. Now, it's one thing to receive comfort, and it's another thing to be a comforter. So often we think only of, I need comfort. And I'm going to look to God for comfort for myself. Well, that's a great thing to do. But that's not the whole story. That's not all that God wants us to receive, is comfort from Him, but also the blessing of being a comforter to others. And this is the theme of this portion. This is the thrust of this portion. The comfort received so that we might be comforters to others who are going through times of trial and tribulation and suffering. Now, in order to be a comforter to someone else, you must have known sorrow and suffering and pain, and also to have received the comfort that you need from God Himself, who is set forth here as the God of all comfort. What a tremendous description of God. We might also say a title for God: the God of all comfort. How tender, how precious. Often when we think of God, we think of His power. We think of His might. We think of His wisdom. We think of His omnipresence and all the other attributes of God. But here's a wonderful truth. He's the God of all comfort. Here's a wonderful truth that should touch all of our hearts. Because somewhere along the line, you and I are going to need comfort. And here's the great source, the great supply for comfort: God Himself, set forth here as the God of all comfort. Now, as I mentioned before, God comforts us for two reasons: not only to meet our need, but to prepare us, to equip us, to be a comforter to someone else. And in order to be a comforter, you must have gone through trials and tribulations and sorrow and suffering yourself. Now, did the Apostle Paul qualify to be a comforter? Had he gone through any trials or tribulations or sorrow or heartache? Had he been comforted of God? Certainly, the Apostle Paul had many qualifications for this. And that's what he sets before us here in 2 Corinthians. So let's look at some of those qualifications of the Apostle Paul in this area as to be a comforter to others. We notice that here in the portion that we read. For instance, he speaks in verse 6 of having been afflicted, also of sufferings, and suffer. And again in verse 7 of the sufferings. And then in verse 8 of trouble and being pressed out of measure. How he despaired even of life. And that he said we had the sentence of death on ourselves. But that's only the beginning. Now let's turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verses 4 to 10. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. But still more, in chapter 11, chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool or foolish. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off, that is, he was on the very verge of death, the threatens of death. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Did the Apostle Paul qualify to be a comforter? That is, to know personally sorrow, suffering, loss, pain, and all the rest. Have you ever gone to a hospital to try and be a comfort to someone, and you've never been sick, and you've never known pain, and you've never had tears, never shed tears or sorrow? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it, to identify with someone else's pain and suffering and heartache? Certainly the Apostle Paul could say, I've been there. I've been there. He could identify with the pain and suffering and loss and sorrow of others. Certainly he qualified to be a comforter because of all that he had experienced and because of, on a personal level, to have been comforted by the God of all comfort. Yes, the Apostle Paul was well qualified to be a comforter to others. Now notice in chapter 7 and verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Those that are cast down. Evidently, the Apostle Paul was speaking of himself. Often he had been cast down. Often he was discouraged, downhearted. And he knew that he needed God. He knew that he needed the comfort, the support, the uplifting of the God of all comfort. I'm sure many of you have heard that old spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the sorrow I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Nobody knows but Jesus. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. I think if the Apostle Paul had heard that old spiritual, he would have sung it. And he could have sung that song with gusto and meaning and feeling, because he knew what it was to be cast down. He knew what it was to have trouble. And here the Apostle Paul said, nevertheless, or as some of the newer translations put it, but God. I like those but gods. They're often. We find them often in the scriptures. But God, but God. And here's a wonderful one. But God that comforteth those that are cast down. Is there anyone here this morning who's cast down? The God of all comfort is available to comfort you who are cast down. But God that comforteth those that are cast down. I know what it is to be cast down. Some years ago, my wife and I, Jessie, had to leave the mission field because her health failed. And that was a great disappointment to me. I felt the Lord had called me to the mission field. And then to have to come back. It was a real disappointment. And I was cast down. There were times when I would kneel to pray, but I just didn't feel like praying. No words came to my mouth. But the only thing I could say was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I was cast down. And then, because of that sickness, Jesse had to be in the sanitarium for 4 months when our twin daughters were a year and a half. And that was a discouraging time. And I was cast down. And then our third child was born with a severe case of Down syndrome. And the doctor advised us to put her in a state hospital. And I was cast down. I remember at that time, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4 were a real comfort to me, especially verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Blessed be God. Now, when you think of God, that's quite a term. We can't take in everything about God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, all holy, all righteous. Somehow that term seems far off and unavailable, God. But notice here it says, the Father of mercies. Now that's a term that we can identify with, Father. That brings God the Almighty right down to us as a Father. And that wonderful truth really touched my heart. It meant a great deal to me. God as not only my Savior, but as my Father, He allowed this. And it was a real comfort to me. And that He is the God of all comfort. I couldn't explain why He allowed it. But as my Father, He knew what was best. And as the God of all comfort, He would supply me and us with that comfort that we needed. And then it wasn't long after that that one of our twins came down with an incurable disease and we almost lost her in an operation for ileitis. And then a few years later, that same twin got cancer and had to undergo major surgery. Had to undergo, rather, major surgery. And then it wasn't too long after that, at the supper table one night, the Lord took my wife, Jessie, home. And I was cast down. But it's amazing the comfort that God gave me. And gave the family. So that I can talk from experience. Like the Apostle Paul could. But God, who comforteth those who are cast down, that He is the God of all comfort. So this is not just words on a page. This is not just a doctrine to read about, to study about. This is a wonderful truth. God is the God of all comfort. During those times, the family was loving and kind and supportive and offered comfort. And I thank the Lord for them. But you know, the closest family and the closest friends can't give enough. They can't come close enough to meet our full need when we're cast down. Here, God is described as the God of all comfort, of all comfort. If there's anyone here going through a time of distress and being cast down and discouraged, look to God. Only He can give all the comfort that you need. What a wonderful truth. And He's available as the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. Now, what's the reason why God would allow us to go through these trials and tribulations and deep waters? To prepare us. To equip us, to bless us in unique ways so that we might be a help and a comfort and a blessing to others going through trials and tribulations. Remember when the Lord Jesus told His disciples to get into a little ship and to cross the sea, and He would meet them later on and obediently they launched out. In the middle of the night, they were still out there. A storm had come up to hinder their passage. And in the darkness and in the storm, they saw a light coming toward them. And they were frightened because they thought it was a spirit, or as we would say, a ghost. Seeing a ghost some stormy, dark night would certainly put fear in our hearts. And so they cried out for fear. But then they heard that loving, familiar voice of the Lord Jesus. Be of good cheer. It is I. How wonderful to hear the voice of the Lord in the nights, in the storms of life, saying, be of good cheer. The Lord has ways of cheering us in the darkness and in the storms. Be of good cheer. It is I. How important it is to see that. It is I. Not it is this circumstance or that circumstance, but it is I. To see the Lord in it all. It makes all the difference in the world. And then they learned some things about the Lord that they hadn't seen or learned before. That He could walk on the water. That He could still the storm. So they learned some deep and wonderful lessons about the power, the might, the authority of the Lord in the darkness and in the storm. And that's why the Lord allows His own to go through those storms and problems and being cast down, so that we might come to know Him in a deeper way as to His love and grace and all wisdom and power and might. It is I. Be not afraid. In Job chapter 5 and verse 7, we read, man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. As surely as the sparks fly upward. Now it's natural for sparks to fly up when there's a fire. That's one of the laws of nature. Now here's another law. Man is born to trouble. No matter who you are. No matter how rich or educated, no matter how wonderful home you, what a wonderful home you have or position or whatever, you're going to have trouble. This is one of the laws of God. Why? Because of sin in the world. And trouble not only for the unsaved, but for Christians too. Some get the idea once you're saved, no more problems, no more trouble. Everything's going to be cloud nine. Not so. Not so. In fact, the Word of God says all those who live godly will suffer persecution, will suffer. But what a difference when you go through the suffering and the problems and the trials, and being cast down when you know the Lord. And you find Him to be the God of all comfort. It's a truth. Paul knew it. I know it. And I'm sure many of you know it too. The comfort of God. The God of all comfort. Back in 1971, Andrew Crouch wrote a very interesting spiritual song called Through It All. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His Word. So God allows us to go through the darkness and the storms and the trials of life to strengthen us, to look to Him, to depend upon Him, to learn new truths and get new blessings from Him as the God of all comfort. Now God comforts us in at least three different ways. For instance, let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 9 and verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now that's rather interesting. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't just godly fear for a day or for some experience and the comfort of the Holy Ghost for just some particular need, but they were walking in it. It was a daily experience. Now the very fact that they experienced the comfort of the Holy Ghost tells us something. They needed it. There were problems, there were trials every day for those early Christians. There was persecution daily. There were threats daily. But how did they handle it? By the fear, the trust, the reverence of the Lord, depending upon Him and the power of the Holy Ghost, walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Here's one great way that God comforts us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. In John, my turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 18. In view of the Lord soon leaving His own, He said that He would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And in verse 8, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And He did through the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. Now that word Comforter, Paraclete, means one who comes alongside. And that's a wonderful truth. You know, when you're going through trials and heartache, when someone is with you, what a difference it makes. That you're not going through it alone. Well, the Lord was going to make sure that they wouldn't go through the trials of life alone. The Holy Spirit would be with them, alongside of them, and even better yet, in them. In them. Isn't that wonderful? Remember, you're not alone. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So here is how the God of all comfort comforts us, through the person of the Holy Spirit alongside. And then to that verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. That word can be translated orphans. I will not leave you like orphans. That's a sad picture, isn't it? An orphan. The Lord said, you're not going to be like that. You're not going to be alone. You're mine. the Holy Spirit will be with you. He'll be in you. What a wonderful comforter. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. And as we notice there in the book of Acts, they were walking in that comfort day by day. No matter what came along, they had the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that verse ends with a nice thought, and were multiplied. I think here's one of the secrets of how God multiplies the assembly, by walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, not just so that you get the comfort, but that you're a comforter, that you're a help to others. And when you live and exercise in the good of that ministry, of being a comforter to others, you know, that's going to draw others to the Lord and to the assembly and to the work of God. They were multiplied. So the God of all comfort comforts us through the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 15 and verse 4, we read of the comfort of the Scriptures. What a comfort. What a source of comfort the Word of God is to us. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, we read of God being the one who is our refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. And often we feel that we need a refuge. We need some place to run to flee to. Well, God is that. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath, I like this, underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you ever felt like you need support? Well, God wants to be that. Underneath are the everlasting arms. My, what a comforting support. Not like a cold rock, but warm, powerful arms underneath. Are the everlasting arms. And then I think of that verse in Hebrews 13, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. And of course, that well-known portion, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then even when I go through the valley, of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. My, the Lord has various ways of preparing a table to satisfy us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we could think of sickness as an enemy, and heartaches and disappointments as an enemy. But there's always that table to provide for us. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's another picture of the Holy Spirit, the oil. Notice it's on the head. Speaking of our thoughts. When our thoughts are in keeping with God and the Scriptures. My, what a blessing is brought to our mind, our thoughts, our attitudes by the Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. When the Holy Spirit has His way in your thinking, in your attitudes, your cup will always run over. Even when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And like the psalmist says in Psalm 84, who passing through the valley of Baca, which means tears, make it a well. Make it a well. Make it a source of refreshment, not only to yourselves, but to others. So the God of all comfort, He uses the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He uses the comfort of the Scriptures. And then turning back to our book again there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those who are cast down comforted us, and notice how that comfort came, by the coming of Titus. By the coming of Titus. God uses others to comfort us. And you know, you can be that other person. You can be that comforter. This is one great reason why the God of all comfort comforts us, so that we might be able to comfort others with the same comfort that we have received from Him. Yes, that's what God has in mind when in His wisdom and His love He allows us to go through these trials and tribulations. To bless you, to comfort you, but to equip you and prepare you to be a blessing to others. And in that, you get another blessing.